the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Mm, it's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just
day.
A sunny day.
Yeah. The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you, taking your calls. Today we have some extra expertise. We have Andy Stevenson joining us as well. He's a general manager at J&J Garden Center, where the annual tomato sale is underway. We wanted to start the hour. People want to get started on planting their tomatoes. And Ton, give us some tips, though. How can we grow the healthiest tomatoes? What are some things we should think about in our planning, in our planting?
Well, you need to know how many tomatoes you need. I remember growing up that my dad would plant 15 or 20 of them, and we ended up giving a lot of those away, and we probably would have, even with canning, could have gotten by with half. And so you need to account for what you've grown and the yields and plan accordingly, and then also plan what you need. Are you going to be doing sauce? Are you doing stewed tomatoes? Are you just eating them? Because some tomatoes are better for canning and others are better for fresh eating and others are better for sauce and salsa. So those need to be considered. But otherwise, about 90% of the Wasatch Front, whether you have clay or sandy soil or loamy soil, it will grow a tomato. Even slightly salty soils will grow tomatoes. And so on that end, it's more just getting them established and making sure that you don't over or underwater them, and then maybe give them an occasional fertilization.
Your thoughts, Andy?
So as you asked the question, my thought is we need to make sure that we get our soil prepped, our garden beds ready to go. Go out, get them tilled, get some new fresh amendments down. I know a lot of people will plant a garden, and sometimes it just runs out of gas, so to say. So it's like with everything, start with a good base. So what we kind of recommend is you can do a couple things. We've got our own private label J&J premium topsoil that we've combined and come up with the manufacturers of the product to make it a really good amendment to whether it's flower beds or gardens. The other things I would recommend would be putting down some type of compost. Like we mention all the time, Oakdale compost is a great one. But this year I've also got a black gold product that's called a flower and vegetable that you can put down and help add to the soils. It's a brand new product, just came out this year. It's great. And then another one, for those of you that are doing raised beds, we've got a brand new product this year too in a black gold bag. That's just for raised beds and garden boxes to help add to that soil. It sat all winter time. If you didn't put a compost in last fall, this is a great time to add all that in before you get planting.
Right. Ton, I'm wondering how much sun do tomatoes need? Because I know I have where I usually have my vegetable garden. I've had some trees kind of grow up. And so what do I need to think about, or what do people need to think about when it comes to sun?
Minimally 6 inches or 6 hours, 6 inches of sunlight, 6 hours of sunlight a day is ideal. And then what I would recommend from there is even getting more to them. 8 or 10 is even better. But if you have at least 6, most tomato varieties will do okay.
All right. And we need to tell folks, so we talked about heirloom tomatoes last hour, and we have put up an article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page on heirloom tomatoes if you'd like to learn more about those. Let's take our first caller, Taylor in Lehigh. Good morning, Taylor. How can we help you?
I've got a question for you. Last fall, we put in our yard, we put sod in, and I'm already starting to notice, I don't know if I have the right term for it, but I call it like field grass or pasture grass that's starting to mix in. I can see it growing in our new sod already. Is there anything that I can do to limit that or to get rid of it?
Well, hand painting it, it would probably be an option, or getting what's called a wicking wand that looks like a hockey stick with a sponge on the bottom, to where what you would do is let that grass grow up taller, and then you would just brush the top couple inches with a Roundup mix that you would mix according to instruction on that wand, or you would mix it like in a bucket and then put on a rubber glove or a long, like a dishwashing glove, and then a cotton glove on top of that, dip your hand into the glyphosate or the Roundup mix and then just brush it over the top. But you need a glove that will prevent that water from penetrating into your skin. Those okay. are some things. If it's just really small, you can, and you're pretty sure it's not spreading by runners, you can pop that stuff out with a screwdriver, a small hand trowel, if it's only an inch or two wide. But if you're seeing it pop up every couple inches, there is a good chance it's spreading by runner, and killing it out by brushing it with some glyphosate would be better.
Okay. All right, I've lived in Lehigh for years, and at our previous house, before we built this one, we had it, and I finally got to the point where I just got used to it, but I thought I would just check and see what my options were with this being basically brand new sod.
Yeah, and so you can do that, but the battle will never go away as far as fighting these weedy grasses, and a lot of times people hit the point where they're just like, you know, I mow it, it's green, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I thought I would just see if there was possibly some miracle product that's come out to take care of that, but I
know
you guys' help.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's just not an herbicide so selective that you can take one kind of grass out of another with very few exceptions that are especially safe and available to homeowners. Crabgrass, we can do that. Foxtail, we can do that. But otherwise, we're really limited on post-emergent sprays that will weed one kind of grass out of your Kentucky bluegrass.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your help. I enjoy your show.
Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for your call this morning. Ton, our next texter, saying they're hearing TV ads now is the time to spread step two fertilizer on our lawns. What is the proper time to apply, or when is the proper time to apply?
It depends on where you live. If you're in the Cache Valley or Heber, you're going to be delayed 2 or 3 weeks as compared to the Wasatch Front. And the best I can really tell you on that step two, normally I think that a lot of them are around Mother's Day, but look at the calendar date that the nursery recommends or the farm store recommends and just go with that. Andy, what's J&J's program on step two?
So right now, step two, actually, we have it down that it starts, that it actually started Wednesday, so April 15th to May 15th. So you got a full month. You're right on time here. And the one that we have is what they call a 24-5-10. It's got a 3% iron and a 25% slow-release nitrogen in it. But right now, you got a month starting kind of the middle of this week through the middle of May is the best time to get that number two down.
All right, let's take a call from Jack in West Jordan. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
What is your question? Me? Yes, go right ahead.
I'm thinking about putting in some English cucumbers, and I'm wondering if they can be raised on a fence or a trellis.
They absolutely can. The cucumbers are naturally vining. You're probably going to have to train them up that until they kind of figure out what they're doing. But absolutely, it's actually a really good thing to do because the cucumbers, as they hang, are oftentimes shaded. And because of that shading, they will have a little bit improved flavor over what they would being, blasted by the sun.
Okay. Same question for tomatoes. Can you train them on a trellis?
Absolutely. I actually like, when I grow my own tomatoes, what I will do is I plant them every 3 feet, and then I get a 2x2, and I put that 18 inches into the ground, and I have the stakes in there, and then I put 2 T-posts on either end of the row to kind of anchor everything, and I weave twine back and forth between the 2x2s starting at about knee height, and then I go up to about waist height. So I have two or three lines, and so I've got, as I weave those back and forth, you've got two lines. And I feed the tomato up through that twine until it's about waist height, and then I let them drape back down. And what that will do is that most of the fruit will be on the inside of the plant, and it's shaded, but it's easier to pick and for me, so I can just lift the vines up and get it off. And I like it as compared to like cages, because the cages sometimes can be a little hard to reach through.
Okay. Will that work with all kinds of tomatoes, or are there
special varieties?
It
works with determinate types. Determinate types are the ones that you get tons of tomatoes for 2 or 3 weeks, and then they become a lot more sporadic. The indeterminate are more like the cherry tomatoes that just never stop growing. Mm. Don't use that on an indeterminate tomato, because it will take over.
Right, and the annual tomato sale is underway at J&J Garden Center. Andy Stevenson is with us. I'm wondering, Andy, is there a better time? People are concerned about the pandemic, and I know you've done everything to make things safe for people, but what are your hours, and when are the, I guess, the lowest traffic hours that people are really concerned about coming in?
You know, it's kind of funny. It varies, but it seems like on our weekdays, our hours right now are from 8 to 8. We've kind of taken the advice from the health department, said, you know, the longer that we can stay open, you spread out your customer base. So instead of shortening our hours, and you've seen that going on, and some of them are doing it mostly just so they can clean and stuff in the after hours. But what we're doing is we're expanding the hours from 8 to 8. And then, but far as sometimes our mornings can be a little lighter from that 8 to 9 o'clock during the weekdays, but our weekends are kind of just the opposite. Our mornings are typically busier on Fridays and Saturdays, so kind of that midday range. And then what I've kind of been noticing and watching is our evening hours, from really that 7 to 8 o'clock in the evening, mm-hmm. It really starts to die down.
Okay.
And one thing that we've also done, too, that I didn't mention this earlier, to help with that problem, we've actually got the capability now is we can open up 3 more check stands completely outside, which we've done that already this year. And then we have a 4th mobile unit that we can put out in another area if needs be, to just to thin out so you can get in, get your stuff, and get out.
Right. I know that you've gone to extremes for social distancing, moving your tomato plants outside or moving them around so they're not all in one location as well. I know you have some employees that are taking it seriously as well, too.
We do. You know, there's a good portion of our employees that are all wearing masks that have been advised. There again, it's not mandatory. So they're doing that. You'll probably notice 99% of them all have gloves on. They're actually taking precautions of washing their hands constantly, but they're also, you know, they're in charge of making sure all the hard surfaces and the shopping carts and all that kind of stuff are sanitized in between each use to make it just a good, nice, clean, friendly environment. And then what we've asked is also our employees keep that social distancing at the 6-foot mark. And then we've also, you know, we ask our customers the same thing, and they're complying. And so kudos to all those that have been here.
All right. Tell us how long the tomato sale goes.
So the tomato sale, as it stands right now, goes from this Saturday. We've been going a week, but it will go all the way until next Saturday.
All right.
A week from today.
And let's not forget to mention the special price on tomatoes right now.
Yep, they're half off for that larger size container, whether they're in a square pot or a round pot. They're comparable to what they used to refer to as the old gallon size,
mm-hmm.
But they're half off, and their price is $2.25.
All right. The annual tomato sale underway at J&J Garden Center in Layton. We're going to take more of your calls when we come back. The number to call, 801-575-8255. Also, you can text us your questions at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Let's go right to the phone lines. Take a call from Bob in Provo. Good morning, Bob. What is your question?
What that is.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yes. My question is, how late can we use the Volvic garment oil spray on peach trees?
Peach trees are in bloom across the Wasatch Front. And so unless you, for some reason yours are still haven't broken bud into bloom yet, it's too late.
Okay, so if the blossoms are bloom, it's too late to do it.
If the blossoms are open. Well, I will clarify that. If you don't want any peaches, spray the oil because it'll scorch the blossoms off the tree.
All right, let's take our next caller. Linda is in Tremont. Good morning, Linda. What is your question?
Decorative bamboo bush?
I'm sorry, we didn't hear the first part of your question. Go ahead, Linda.
Yes, I have a decorative bamboo bush. It's all dried and crispy right now. It has like a 4-inch crisp leaf, but I'm wondering, should I cut that off or it should be perennial? I got it at Home Depot. It said it was.
Well, perennial doesn't mean cold hardy. And so did you happen to notice the zone of cold hardiness when you purchased it?
I didn't.
Okay,
but
because
I've seen them up in Ogden, and it appears that they've been planted there over the years. So I bought one that looked like it, and so I thought it was perennial, but maybe it isn't.
Well, it is perennial, but that what I'm differentiating perennial to cold hardy because there are tropical perennials that die here. Now, the bamboo, what you can do is just cut it back or just let it alone and give it another month and see if it forms new shoots from the ground or you get new leaves on the stalks. If it doesn't, you know, by mid-June, it's not going to. Now, there are a number of relatively hardy bamboos, but they're hardy only pretty much in the warmer areas of the Wasatch Front. So the Ogden Bench, any of the bench areas or similar, you would have a better chance as compared to being down by one of the lakes like Utah Lake or the Great Salt Lake.
All right, we need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call 801-575-8255. You can text us as well at 575-00.